I'm going to share a couple of pieces of information about me, and I'll just say at the beginning that I have never been diagnosed with OCD. I know that's a real struggle for some people, but there's a few things I do that are unusual, but I'm sharing them because I have a feeling that I'm not the only one who does these things, okay? So one example of my strange behaviors is that if I have one of those little 12-pack, you know, a dozen eggs, the little paper carton thing, and I take out some eggs from one end or the other, I do not like putting that egg carton back without making sure it's all symmetrical, making sure the eggs are all spread out in a symmetrical fashion. One thing, I just like the way that looks. You know, I like if there's four eggs missing, I'm gonna spread it out to where those eggs are missing from the middle now and not from either end. The other thing is that just for safety's sake, right? When you pick up that egg carton so it doesn't feel off balance, whoa, you know, almost a big accident. Accident, I almost said. That would have been, and yeah, I didn't plan on saying that, but a big accident with eggs all over the place. Anyone else in this room want to be bold enough to say you do something like that? Okay, yes, I'm not the only one. Thank you. I knew it. I knew there'd be others out there that would do the same thing. Okay, here's another example. If I'm in a room that has more than one light switch that works the light in that room, okay? So the toddler room in the toddler room across the lobby there has this scenario where there's light switches on either end of the room that work that light. I want to make sure when that light is off that those light switches are in the right direction. I don't like to have like one, they're both up in the wrong, because, you know, they work opposite each other, so they're either both up or both down. I like, when the lights are off, I like the switch to be in the off position. Anybody else like that? You got the same, okay, same people, it looks like, that admitted the last one. All right, my people are here. One last example. If you're, you know, use the restroom, wash your hands, and you're going to leave the bathroom, and you didn't grab a paper towel to grab the door handle. Not everybody does that, but if you wanted to do that and you forgot to grab the paper towel, or there wasn't a paper towel, it was just the dryers, and you got to pull the door handle to get out of the bathroom, I will try to find a place on that door handle where I don't think anyone else has ever tried to open the door by. Anybody else, like, kind of trying to grab the very bottom of it? Okay, yes, just a few of you. All right, they're all in the back for some reason, everybody that's admitting that they're like me here. I appreciate that. Okay, so here's the deal. Here's the reason why I'm sharing all this. There's something about feeling like you can identify that you're not the only one with whatever it is in your life. Like, I, you know, there's something you do and you go like, I must be the only person in the world who does that. And it makes you feel isolated when you feel like that. And those examples of things that I've mentioned this morning, I'm not the only one in this room who does that sort of those things, as strange as those examples were. I wasn't the only one. And that, there's something about finding community in those kind of situations where you go, I'm not the only one. I have community over this, you know, kind of this interesting or strange, perhaps, behavior. There is a common tactic of the enemy to make us feel like we are alone, or we struggle in a way that is absolutely unique to us. And if anybody ever knew about how you struggle, they would never understand. That's a common tactic of the enemy, to isolate us, to make us feel completely alone in whatever it is that we are struggling with. Now, there's a verse that tells us that that's not true. 1 Corinthians 10:13 talks about temptation. And it says this: no temptation has undertaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. That's a nice promise from God, that if we're ever tempted to sin in a particular way, to know that we are not the only ones, you know, that there's the only ones who struggle in that particular way, that there's community even in that struggle, that no temptation has overtaken us that is not common to man. You know, that word community and common have the same kind of root there. That there's an aspect, you may not struggle in the same way as the person you're sitting next to or the person in your row, but this idea that together there are people who struggle the way we struggle. And I want to share a temptation. This is all building up to the temptation that you all in this room have. And here's the temptation. We are all tempted to be self-reliant when it comes to our relationship with God, or when it comes to our life. We are all tempted at different times to feel like, oh, I can handle this one on my own. Whether that's this one is that day, or a particular challenge in your life, or whatever it may be. This idea that you can somehow be self-reliant. and you don't need God that day. And we would never say that. We would never say that. But we often make a statement to that effect by our behavior, by our spiritual activity, by our lack of spiritual activity. And Jesus himself, in Matthew chapter 4, says this powerful phrase where he's being tempted in the desert. This is the temptation in the wilderness. And this is Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. It says this, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Jesus himself quotes this verse from the Old Testament where he's talking about, hey, spiritually we need God's word the way we need food. That the way that you don't skip eating most days, you know, it's like, it just, oh, I forgot to eat today. We tend to do that with our spiritual practices. The way that we connect with God, it is so common and so easy for us to skip, to neglect our disciplines, and we end up in a spiritually malnourished state. And so what I'm talking about with this temptation to be self-reliant is that we regularly struggle with the temptation from moment to moment or day to day or week to week or month to month to feel like we don't really need to spend time with God. We don't really need that connection. We don't really need to renew that intimacy that we have with God. And I want to encourage you in this, this is the time of the year for self-reflection. This is the time of the year that we, you know, think about the year past and we think about the year ahead and we set goals. And every year, as close to New Year's as possible, I like to exhort you. I like to urge you. I like to make a really big deal about why spending time in God's word is important. And so that's what this message is today. I'm hoping that as you reflect on the year past and you think about the year ahead, when you put your goals together, if you do that, I mean, not everybody does that, but if you do that, this is a natural kind of break point. This is holiday season. This is a time where we do that kind of reflection. Even if you don't do resolutions, you know, there's something about reflecting on the year past and thinking about the year ahead and making it a matter of kind of focus and thinking and being intentional about what's ahead of you that's a good thing to do. And so I hope that in the year ahead, you'll think about your spiritual development, you'll think about your spiritual life just as much as any other aspect you might be focusing on when it comes to setting goals or thinking about the year ahead. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to make pursuing Jesus a priority in the year ahead. And specifically, I want to talk about why it's important to spend time in God's word. To do that, I'm going to share nine things with you that what Bible, my time in God's word does for me, and I believe will do for you as well. The first thing it does is it prepares me to do good. It prepares me for good things. It prepares me to actually love people and to serve people. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it's this one of these, you know, scriptures that really stands out as discussing about the scripture, that all scripture is profitable. And then it kind of wraps up with this idea in verse 17 about equipping you to do every good work. That all the things, the good deeds that are ahead of you on any given day or any given week, that the scripture, your time in scripture will prepare you to do good. You are more prepared. I am more prepared to be of service for the people around me, whether that's my family, coworkers, you know, whatever the case may be, the people I interact with on a day-to-day basis, I'm in a better position to serve people, to love people, to do good for people from that time in God's word. It prepares me to do good. The next thing it does is it helps me to know God. It helps me to know God, and this is maybe if there is one of these nine that stands out above the others, maybe it's this one. That it helps me to actually know God. It helps me to know God's personality, his character, all these characteristics about God. One of our beliefs about Scripture is that it is the revelation of God. It is a divine revelation from God. Literally, revelation means, you know, someone revealing information about them, right? Revealing information about who they are and their characteristics and character traits. And we have a God who reveals, who has revealed himself to us to help us to know him. Like if we're going to know God at all, it's going to have to be because he steps down towards on our level and gives us information about himself. because part of him being God, part of him being the creator is that he is so far above us. He is a being that is infinitely higher than us. And if we're ever going to be able to grasp who he is, it's only going to be because he reveals that information to us. And he does that in Scripture. He tells us about himself. And we're designed and created for that relationship. We need God in our lives. We need a relationship with God. And Scripture helps us to know God more, to know about his character, to know about what he's done, and to understand him better. The third thing it does is it adjusts my attitude and it encourages me. There are times when you need both of those things, right? You need an attitude adjustment, and there's times when you're discouraged and you need encouragement. You need strength for the day. You've gotten bad news that has discouraged you, and you need your spirits lifted. Scripture does that. Scripture helps you adjust your attitude. There's this great passage in, I think it's 1 Samuel, where David has just had the worst day ever, like worse than any of us, where he's gone out and gone out to battle. And while he was gone, a raiding party came in and took all of their belongings at their camp that they had left and took away their family members, took away all their loved ones. And so they come back exhausted after a day of being out in battles of their own, and they come home and home is gone. All their possessions, all their valuables are gone. And their loved ones, most importantly, are gone. And everyone, of course, is discouraged by that news. All the warriors are just heartbroken and are trying to figure out how they can even stand up after something like that. And they begin to blame David. David, this is your fault. This is faulty leadership. And David feels like they might actually try to kill him because of how the situation, because of what's going on. And there's this beautiful verse where it says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. That David had this moment where he had to turn towards God and he had to encourage himself in the Lord. And I believe prayer was a large part of that. I don't know specifically what he did in that moment. But there needs to be ways that when you're feeling low, when you're feeling discouraged, when you're feeling like you just have a bad attitude, you're just like in a bad mood, that if you can encourage yourself in the Lord, if you can somehow turn the corner, I believe Scripture does that in a powerful way in my life. And I believe Scripture will do that for you as well. It adjusts your attitude and it encourages you. If you would have a regular practice of doing that, encouraging yourself in the Lord through Scripture reading, I think it would be a big deal for you. It would make a big difference. The fourth thing that Scripture does in my life, and I believe will do in your life as well, is it gives me wisdom for my life. It gives me wisdom. It gives me knowledge and wisdom, right? Wisdom is that knowledge applied in appropriate ways and applied well. But when we go to Scripture and regularly rely on the Bible for wisdom and we turn towards Scripture, it's acknowledging when we do that we do not have it all figured out. Just simply the fact of opening God's Word, we're saying, I don't have it all figured out. I know someone who does. And I'm going to try to gain some wisdom from Scripture today. And I want to try to... I had this motion of opening a Bible. Maybe it's the device, you know, you're pushing the buttons and you're reading on your screen. But we're going to turn towards the God who does know it all. And if I had you do a little exercise, if you have a pen and a piece of paper, you could actually do this. But to draw a circle on a piece of paper, or to just imagine you're drawing a circle, and that circle represents everything there is to know in the world, everything that there is to know about anything in the universe. I mean, things that we don't even know beyond this planet. Right? That circle represents the sum of all knowledge, the sum of all information. Okay, that circle on your page or this mental picture you're making. Now, I want you to draw a circle that represents everything you know based on how much there is to know. Okay, so like how much of that, all that, everything there is to know, do you know? Like how big is your circle going to be in comparison to the sum of all human knowledge? Pretty small, right? Yeah, your circle, if you're feeling super prideful, it's going to be, you know, a half of that or something. But my mine would be like a dot. It'd be pretty small or a very tiny circle that you could barely see any white in the middle of it. But we have a God who knows the sum of everything. Who knows all the stuff that scientists are just discovering, you know, and that there's new news about some new discovery. God knew that already. We have a God that's all-knowing, and he has written, he has a He has revealed himself to us in Scripture. He has given us knowledge about the world and about the way people are. It helps me understand myself better when I read Scripture. It helps me understand the world better, and it gives me wisdom. There's one of Billy Graham's secrets, apparently, to his own spiritual life was that he would read a proverb a day, just recognizing that he needs wisdom, and Scripture is a great place to get wisdom. And there's roughly 30 to 31 days of Scripture of the month, and there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and so it lines up basically to one proverb a day, and that through his life, that was something that he would do, and maybe continues to do in his old age now, but to go through and read a proverb a day. Maybe for you, that's something that you need to do, just a spiritual practice of introducing something like that into your life, acknowledging the fact that you need wisdom, you need information from beyond you, you know a God that knows everything there is to know, and you're going to seek him and seek what he's saying in his word to help understand the world better, understand yourself better, and to have more wisdom. The fifth thing that Scripture does for me is it helps me to understand my purpose. My life purpose, right? Helps me to understand why I exist and what I'm put on this earth to do. The greatest fulfillment, the greatest joy that we have is found in this relationship with God, that we are created for a relationship with God, and that we're actually a part of this huge story that we get swept up in with our relationship with Jesus, and we get to be a part of his mission in the world, that we are representatives of his in this world. I get all of that from Scripture, and it helps me understand, helps give my life purpose, helps me understand why I am put on this earth. Scripture helps me recognize God's voice. That's the sixth thing that Scripture does for me. There's something about spending enough time in Scripture that you begin to recognize truth in a way that where you, if you know your Bible well, when something is held up that is a counterfeit to that, you can quickly identify that because you know what God says. You know what his voice is saying. And if you're among circles where there's a lot of prophetic type things or whatever, we should be weighing everything that comes along those lines through Scripture. And it should be measured against Scripture. If someone says something and they say, this is what God says, and they say something that just doesn't line up with Scripture, if you don't know your Scripture well enough, if you haven't spent enough time in God's Word, you might just accept something that is off base, that is off track, and we're supposed to weigh things like that with God's Word. And one example of this is, you know, the revelation of, like, the Book of Mormon, our Mormon friends that have these things where they believe they have this new revelation from God and this new information from God. And there's many, many things. If we recognize God's voice, we'll see things that do not line up. Like, well, that does not fit with what God has already revealed in his word. Seventh, it makes me more holy. It makes me more holy. If I spend time in God's word, it makes me more holy, not just by reading it, but because when I read God's word, there I am confronted regularly when I open Scripture, and you will be as well, where you go, wow, I read this in God's word, and I know this is something that in my life does not match with what God is saying he wants. So we regularly are confronted with God's will for our lives. You know, part of loving God, we want to love God and love others, and part of loving God, Jesus says, if you'll love me, you'll obey my commandments. Well, that implies we need to know what his commandments are. And so when we spend time in God's word, we understand what his commands are, we understand what he desires for us, and there are things that we are confronted with when we open God's word that with God's help and by his grace, God helps me change after reading his word. And this relationship with God requires that we allow the Bible at times to correct us, that if we come into our relationship with God going like, well, I'm on board with all the stuff that agrees already with me, but if there's ever anything that comes up in Scripture that I go, I disagree with this. Having a relationship with God means there's this give and take on my end, you know, that I need to be able to give up things. And if I really have a real relationship with God, if I ever see something in Scripture that doesn't match up with my own life, I'm the one who changes because I have this relationship with him. We allow the Bible to correct us. And so in that way, it makes us more holy. Eighth, it grows my faith, and it'll grow your faith. Scripture says that faith comes from hearing. This is in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That if you want more faith, like we all need more faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. that we need faith in our lives. We need more and more faith. We need to be able to trust God more. Like in any relationship, trust is key. Our relationship with God, trust plays a significant role. And if we need more faith in our lives, which guess what? Everyone in this room, without exception, needs more faith. We all need more faith. That comes through God's word. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. There's something about spending time in God's word regularly that fills up our tank when it comes to faith. And faith comes in handy in every aspect of life. You face a challenge, you know that you can trust God. You've been able to trust him. Your faith is growing more and more as you go through your Christian life. And you know that God's handled stuff in the past. He'll handle this as well. I can trust God. God is trustworthy. Ninth thing that Scripture does for me, and you could probably come up with more lists on your own, but it fuels my worship. It fuels my worship. When you see God revealed in Scripture, when you see who God is, the characteristics of God and how wonderful God is and the way that God's provided for people in the past, it fuels your worship. You get to think, well, what about a God that has created the universe? And you read the Psalms, and when David is just worshiping God in these words that are recorded for us, that it just lifts your soul, and you're inspired to worship just through the revelation of God. That there will be times like that, not every time you open the Bible, but if you do it often enough, there will be those times where you just feel like worshiping God based on what you've seen in Scripture. So those are nine things that I think that Scripture does for me, and I believe it will do for you as well. And I encourage you, the point of this message is to encourage you to in the year ahead, in 2016, make time in Scripture, time in God's Word, a priority. Make your spiritual life in general a priority, but specifically this sermon's about Scripture. We'll talk more about prayer in coming weeks, because I think that's another very important piece that a dynamic for your spiritual life. But today, talking about Scripture, and if you're going to spend time in God's Word in the year ahead, it's not going to just happen. It doesn't just magically happen where all of a sudden you're spending time in God's Word. You need to have a plan. Like anything worthwhile in your life, any big things that you want to accomplish, planning is important. And that's why we talk about the Bible reading plan. I want to introduce you to the McShane Bible reading plan. It's spelled kind of funny. There's an M apostrophe C-H-E-Y-N-E, but it's pronounced McShane. And this is the Bible reading plan that I'm hoping that we as a church will do in 2016. And you can pick up one of these Bible reading plans in the lobby. I want to tell you a little bit about Robert Murray McShane. He was born in 1813, and he died in 1843. He was a pastor of a church in Scotland. I think it was called St. James Church in Scotland. And he began pastoring probably early 20s and only pastored this church for about 6 years. And he died when he was 29 years old. But during that time, one of the things that stood out about him to the people around him and his friends and was that he prioritized his relationship with God. And there's this quote, this great quote that says, he says, "The greatest need of my people is my personal holiness." That when he thought about the best way he could help his church, the best way he could help the people in his life, is the greatest need of his people is not maybe what you would think, or, you know, if like, what's the biggest need everybody has? He says, their greatest need is my personal holiness. That as the pastor of this church, the greatest thing I can do for them is to make sure that I'm spending that time with God and that I'm walking in holiness and righteousness before God. And I love McShane and this plan he put together for his congregation. He put this together and explained it in something that I read yesterday in preparation for the message, where he's talking about the idea of getting everybody on the same plan, everybody reading the same passage of Scripture, is like, if you think about sheep and this kind of shepherd imagery that we have in Scripture, he says it's like everybody's grazing in the same part of the field, the same part of the pasture. And he said he envisioned this idea of people getting together throughout the week and kind of running into each other during the week and running into people that they went to church with and being able to share, like just knowing that, hey, I read something so great in Scripture today. Oh, I read the same thing. And it's this community building aspect of being all on the same plan that connects you with your brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the week. That we're not together, you know, you're here together on Sunday. Maybe you're here on Unites. I hope you're there for Wednesdays as well. But then it's this way to be connected with one another throughout the week where you're learning some of the same spiritual lessons and you're drinking from the same well or eating from the same part of the pasture together. And it's this way to be connected and together this way, even when we're apart. So I want to encourage you to grab one of these Bible reading plans. One of the things I love about it is the variety. There's four different types of scripture that you're going to be reading from each day. And if it's too much for you, if you jump into this and you go, I can't read all these and I'm having trouble tracking all the stories, you can divide it up however you'd like. If you want to do, you know, the first two columns 1 year and the next two columns the next year, if you do it all in 1 year, you will read the entire Bible, the entire Old Testament once, and the Psalms and the entire New Testament twice in a year. And so that's I want to encourage you to do the same plan. If you have smartphones, as many people do these days, I'd say most people do these days, you can download the Bible app. The Bible app is really helpful. It's if you just type Bible on the App Store, or Google Play, or on iPhone, on Apple, you can just type Bible, and it's probably going to be the number one result. And there's this Bible app that was put together by a church in Oklahoma that was just put it together freely and put it out there, and it's super handy, super useful. If you just type McShane, McCHEYNE, in that Bible app, you'll see that's one of the list of plans you can do, so you can follow along that way. And one of the things I really like about the Bible app is that you can hit play and just listen to it. It'll be read to you. And you can control the speed of how fast it's read or slow it's read, and that's super handy. So if you want to follow along that way as well, I encourage you to do that. I want to expand Robert Murray McShane's quote, "The greatest need of my people is my personal holiness," and expand it and kind of look at it in a different way. And that is this: the greatest need of your friends is your personal holiness. If you're a parent, the greatest need of your children is your personal holiness. Say the greatest need of your spouse is your personal holiness. That there's something about if you can be in this relationship with God where you are most connected with him, more connected than you've ever been before, that you will be a better friend. You'll be a better spouse. You'll be a better parent. You'll be a better worker. That it's intensely practical to spend time with God and develop a stronger relationship with God in the year ahead. If you've never tried journaling, we talk a lot about soap journaling. And I find that to be a helpful way of studying God's word and a helpful way of reflecting on God's word. And if it's helpful for you, do it. If you want to have a long conversation with me about what soap journaling is all about, or to even sit down with me and do it together, I'd love to do that. I've offered that in the past. That anybody that wants to learn soap journaling, I will sit down and give you a lesson on how to do soap journaling. We put a document together, a little orange piece of paper out in the lobby that explains it. But if you want more explanation, I'd love to chat with you about what that looks like and how we can do that. Maybe in the year ahead, you need to buy a new Bible. Maybe you're reading a translation that you're having trouble understanding, and maybe you need to buy a new one. Maybe you need to buy a study Bible or something, and that would be a good next step for you when it comes to engaging deeper in God's Word. There's some really cool Bibles that I've seen lately that are journaling Bibles. I've seen those for a while where they have a big column. There's one column of Scripture and then a big column, big space for you to write directly in your Bible. That may be something that's helpful for you. I've seen another one recently that is, so it's got a journaling Bible and there's pictures in there, like pictures for you to actually color if you kind of have this artistic side to you, and it helps you to reflect on Scripture by coloring out inside the Bible. And then by the time you're done, you have like what would amount to an illuminated Bible, like these Bibles had the monks that would put together, and they you know, make these beautiful pages in their Bibles. There's a journaling, I think it's called, I don't know, artistic journaling Bible or something like that. You could look that up. But maybe that's for you that you need to take that actual step of picking up a Bible, ordering one from Amazon and picking out one, or going to a Christian bookstore and selecting a new Bible that will be the one that you engage with in the year ahead. Maybe that's for you, that's a step you need to take. Maybe for you, you need to make memorizing Scripture more of a priority. Where you one verse a week or one verse a month, where you try to actually hide God's word in your heart, the way the Bible talks about. Hiding it in your heart and remembering what Scripture says and reflecting on it, so that when you memorize a passage of Scripture or a verse, you can think about that verse wherever you are. You are not limited by geography or whether or not you have your Bible in front of you. And it is a special thing to be able to just recall God's word in moments because you've taken the time to put it in there, to put it in your heart, and to put it in your mind and be able to reflect on it. Maybe for you, meditation just needs to be a part of your life. And when we talk about meditation, we're not talking about an emptying of your mind, but a filling of your mind with God's word, where you have verses that you would regularly take from your Bible reading. You write a verse out on a card, or you type it up, or you put it on your phone as a screensaver, and you put that somewhere where you're regularly going to see it, and then you make a practice of meditating on that Scripture and reflecting on it, thinking about it, and letting that really sink down deep. because it's very easy to just read the Bible and just close it and say, that's nice, and move on throughout your day. Maybe for you, studying needs to be a priority. There's so many amazing websites out there. You know, BibleGateway.com. There's a website called Blue Letter Bible. I think it's .com. It might be .org. That very, very helpful in really diving into understanding what Scripture, what verses mean, and actually looking at the original language and what those verses, those words in the original language meant. Or study Bibles. There's great study Bibles out there. If you want recommendations, come talk to me after the service. I'll give you some good recommendations. But there's the ESV study Bible's really good. There's one called the Gospel Transformation Bible that's really, really good. That's one of the more recent purchases I've made, and I really enjoy that one. But in the year ahead, in 2016, we're right on the verge, our last time to getting together in this year, my hope for you, my prayer for you, is that you would take this aspect of your spiritual life seriously, of diving into God's Word. And the reason why we're making such a big deal about this, the reason why this is such a big deal, think about what we're celebrating this season. You know, it's 2 days ago, was Christmas Day. And we talked about on Christmas Eve, Emmanuel, God with us. What a beautiful idea that we celebrate God with us during this Christmas season. And part of our wrapping our minds around that is that Jesus went through infinite lengths to be with you. Jesus went through time and space and from God to man so that he could be with you, so that he could be God with you, God with us. Since that's true, all the effort that he put into that to be with us and to have a relationship with us and then dying on the cross to purchase a relationship with God for us, he is worth any effort that you would put in to be with him, right? To have a stronger relationship with him. He's God with us. Would you also put in the effort to be with him and to have that stronger relationship with him in the year ahead? D.L. Moody said, "The Bible was not given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives." That's why we're making such a big deal about this. We say, as a church, our mission is to help people become fully alive in Christ. That we're about helping people find life in Christ and having a dynamic relationship with God through Jesus. And there's something about when we have that connection with our Creator, this relationship that we are designed for, it gives us life. It gives us this kind of a higher form of life, not just living and breathing, but having this dynamic spiritual life with Christ. And to have a fullness of that is what we're all about. I want that for every single person in this room and all of our people in our church that are a part of our church family. I want them all to have that kind of fullness of life that Jesus said he came to bring. And I think engaging with Scripture, engaging with God's Word is a big part of that. As you grow to know God in Scripture, as those kind of nine things we talked about become true, you'll feel that. You'll feel a stronger sense of that life and more of a fullness of the life that Jesus said he came to bring. So let's do that in the year ahead. Let's engage with God's Word. Let's focus on our spiritual life. Now, if you are the kind of person that wants to put, you know, goals together for the year ahead or resolutions, make spiritual ones also a part of that. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for what you've done over this last year in the life of our church. It's really exciting to think about, Lord, what all you've done. When we think back and reflect on what a great year it's been, and Lord, the news of the new building, and Lord, all this ministry in the summertime with the youth and our kids, and Lord, just the sermon series that we've been tracking through together, Lord, it's been an amazing year, and we thank you so much for all the great things that you've done in our lives and in our church family over the last year. And Lord, I pray in the year ahead for each and every person in this room and Lord, all of our church family that's not here today, I pray that you would just, Lord, draw us deeper into our relationship with you. And I pray that we would have, Lord, just the year ahead would be for every one of us in this room. We think about where we've been in our relationship with you, that this year would be the year where we were the strongest and we were the most full of your Spirit and we were the most in love with you and the most on fire for you. Lord, fill us with that life that comes from that dynamic relationship with you in this year ahead. Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you for the incredible lengths that you went to send your Son to die for us, that he would be God with us. And Lord, I pray that we would do what it takes to be with him, Lord, to be with him relationally in our devotional life. Lord, help us to be people of the Word. Help us to be people of prayer. Lord, help us to be people that just draw near you. Use everything available to us to draw closer to you And Lord, as we do that, we trust that you'll transform us. We trust that you will give us that life. And Lord, fill us up and Lord, help us to walk with you. Lord, we thank you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.